We're going to shift gears now, and we are going to talk with Carol Zoom, who's the executive director of Nakeiki Omalia. And it's been a long time since we've had anybody on from there.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Oh, our pleasure, our pleasure.
I can sometimes be hard to understand. Can you hear me okay?
There we go. You're doing just fine, Carol. You know, it's when we talked with I'm trying to think of the name of this.
Brooke,
yes,
yeah.
The start of the
Our
organization.
Founder, yes.
Yes. The story she told of her daughter, which is the Emilia that's in the name of the organization. I understand she's got a book out.
Yes, Brooke wrote a book about her journey with her daughter, and it is called Emilia. And she has them available for sale, and some of the proceeds benefit us and also the Hawaii Canoe Club.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And it's that Emilia had a profound impact on this island in her short life. And she was involved in a lot of activities and caring for kids across the island, Seabury, the Canoe Club, and just in her own life. And so it's beautiful what Brooke is doing to memorialize her experience with Emilia. And many of us remember her. I didn't know her, but a lot of the people who volunteer with us did know her and know about the impact she had on kids that she had encountered over her lifetime.
Wow, yeah, such a short life. And and sometimes there's a reason. I guess we have to accept that fact that why would we lose someone so young and so vital and vibrant? So now, Nakeiki Omalia, give us just kind of a brief rundown as to what the program is, the mission of the organization, et cetera, because it's been a while.
Sure. So Nakeiki Omalia supports children, teen, and families who've experienced the loss of someone important to them. Often that is a parent or a sibling. Sometimes that's a grandparent or a tutu. We provide services in the form of peer support groups for children so they can, all of them who are grieving, can talk to each other about their experience with adult caring safe space. And then we also educate the community on how children who are experiencing grief may act in the programs that other organizations run. And we do advocacy on behalf of children to make sure that issues that relate to children who are grieving have a voice in our community. I mean, as you know, all of us are reeling from the deaths that have happened due to COVID and the other epidemics of suicide and overdose in our communities. And while children are resilient, they do need supportive intervention in order to fare well after death in their family. And so when we do our programs in the community, we have a time for their parents at the same time that the children are in a program, and they're separated and they have different activities. But we work with the parents to be able to talk about how the children are feeling, and if issues come up like anger or sadness, how the parents can address those issues. And we have programs on Wednesdays in Wailuku, and that's going on starting October 5th.
Ah, next month.
Yes.
Or next week.
Next week, as a matter of fact. And we had in July and also in August.
Gotcha.
We offer gift baskets that come from donations in the community. We were fortunate from Stillwell's and Whole Foods, as well as Barnes & Noble, to gather books and treats and games that we could give to kids who had recently experienced the death of someone close to them. And that way the kids can just feel a little bit like at some point in my life, life will go back to different and maybe more positive.
Right, right. Maybe not the normal we're used to, but it will kind of find its place and just be a part of my life.
Yeah. As they say, you know, you never get over a death, you get through it.
Right.
And the peer support model that we use at Nakeiki Omalia is based on the Dougie Center in Portland, Oregon.
Right.
Basic idea is that all of us have the capacity to heal with the right support. And so it's a natural, healing from grief is natural.
Yeah.
It takes as long as it takes.
Right.
And you don't, you know, there's no need to pathologize it, to call it. I mean, there are, at times, people need assistance from therapy. The work we do is not therapy. It's more activity-based, peer support.
Mm-hmm.
So kids are talking to each other, and they're all in the same boat. Kids between the ages of 6 and 12 who are in a small group do activities to learn and identify their feelings and then to be able to better express what they're going through with
right.
themselves and also with their family members.
They must be coming from a feeling that this shouldn't have happened to them. Why us? Why you know, my sibling, my sister, my brother, whatever. And I would think that just knowing that others are experiencing the same thing is a start.
I do think children thrive on talking to one another about what they're going through. They mostly don't want to talk to us adults. We're old. but you've got to put it in context that the Children's Bereavement Estimation Model says that we have approximately 2,200 children under the age of 18 in Maui County who are bereaved. Who have
2,200.
Wow. And by the age of 25, that doubles to 4,400. And so our program currently has served in the hundreds, but we're looking to expand our work to be at 50% of those kids who might need help within the next couple of years.
Wow. 2,200 children are in bereavement between the ages of 6 and 12?
0 to 18.
Oh, 0 to 18. Okay.
And by the time they are 25, that number will have doubled to 4,400. So we're talking about an enormous number of children who are yet underserved on this island.
Right. I've always liked what Brooke has put together with this program, and like you say, it's the Doogie Foundation, the peer-to-peer aspect. So much easier for kids than having an adult to try to talk to or a professional trying to figure out what's going on with them. Because the kids, relatively speaking, are all going through the same issues. But given their particular circumstances, it may affect them in a different way.
It's true. You see kids who don't want to talk at all. And they may just come to the program and sit through and take a pass on activities. But over the period of time that they come to the group, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, longer, there's something happening where they build relationships with one another and over time can reveal what's going on with them. Not everybody always talks, but it does change them to be in relationship with one another. And that's one of the most important things, to know somebody cares. Somebody else is also going through this.
Right. Now, do they come, are we talking about individual kids, or do they come as like two or three in a family?
It happens both ways. In our program right now, we have multiple members of one family affected by the death of a parent. Mm-hmm. And then we have singletons, as I would call them. And it varies. When we do groups in schools, and just so schools know, we're available to do an hour in service with the staff, or we're available to run groups for free for children who are grieving in a school. They come in, they're in age groups, and so you tend to have fewer kids in a family in one classroom.
Right.
But in our community programs, we do see, we recently served a family that had five children.
Wow.
Who had lost
a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see within that, like that group of five, do they each kind of, I hate to use the word, catch on to what's going on how to accept it, I guess is the word, at different points during the sessions? Because of their ages or whatever?
Exactly. Kids of different ages take the news differently and process it differently. So at times you'll have more of a teenager who is aware more of the circumstances of the death and is having a different kind of issue adjusting to it than their younger siblings. Sometimes it's real helpful to have the siblings all together so they can be supportive to each other. Sometimes they have very different relationships with the person who died. Not always the best thing.
Interesting.
Somebody loved
right.
the person, and somebody was a little more, there was a more problematic relationship, and
right.
so it varies a lot.
Yeah.
But basically, we believe no child should grieve by themselves, and our goal is to reach out in all areas of Maui County and be able to serve the children who are grieving. And so we're working to expand our the size of our program into Lahaina, into Hana, into Lanai and Molokai, where we've had interest in being invited there.
Oh, that's great.
Yep. So, and then upcountry. We don't have an active program yet upcountry, but we have some teachers interested who are upcountry.
So then now everybody that's involved in this are volunteers, right? You're the staff.
Yeah, yes. I have Birgitta Golden and myself. She's the operations director, helps keep everything on track. And then I'm executive director doing the outreach and programming. We're hoping to hire at least a part-time program director with a we have a new opportunity that I'd love to share. But we are all of the people, like we Brooke Brown, who was our founder, and some of the founding board members, Wendy Melavina and Susan Brown, all did a facilitator training this weekend. So we had a dozen people from the community who are willing to give weekly time to go into the schools or into the community and work with kids around grief. And it's so gratifying that
That's
people
great.
Care enough. And some of them have personal experience that they had a death in the family and they know what they would have liked to have seen. And then some are just people who care about children and want to be there for them and are learning this particular issue because, you know, grief and bereavement have a distinct pattern in the way that kids experience that and change through that. We help them understand what they might see in the kids that we're working with.
I understand, yeah. Does it, you do have like two different separate age groups that you work with.
Well, actually, several. We do the elementaries, which is the youngers, and then middles, and then teens. And what we offer to them is different in each program, although the similar is a basis of peer-to-peer talking between themselves, talking story. There's also activities that help engage the children and or kids, teens, keiki. And then we also do education to help them understand the feelings that they may be having that they're not familiar with.
Gotcha. That's it's just so great. I mean, I think about some of the kids that I grew up with who had a loss in their families. And just some of them, I mean, there was just like a total change of personality for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't nice. I mean, it wasn't a good change. And you just, I look back and I think, gosh, if there had been something like this for them to go to.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. We hope to reach out to kids and through our, we give gift baskets when people are newly bereaved. Through those kids that we meet, then we invite them to be part of the program. Thank you to the sponsors who've helped us do that for free. But we also, you know that kids who are very young, if they have a death in the family, may exhibit younger behaviors. They may regress a little bit. Kids who are older may find themselves angry, and the whole question that you asked about, why me?
Right.
Why my family? You know, with the numbers of dead that we have had from COVID and the amount of bereavement, you know, I think we were talking off radio for a second about, you know, if a breadwinner in a family dies, the kids may be at risk for houselessness or food insecurity. It's not, we can't, the grief of a child is not in a vacuum. The reality of what's happening to their family, if they lose the lease on their house or they don't have the deed to the car when a parent dies, can have long-term economic impacts on that family. And so making sure that we can alleviate some of that by creating caring relationships and having activities that help them speak what they're going through. It can make a very traumatic time less difficult. It will never heal the situation, but it can be that lifeline that a kid may need.
Right.
And we are looking for activities for kids who are grieving to go to be involved, more involved in, because that can help also if they have a favorite activity and that's ended because their family member died that was enabling them to do that. Say they're into tennis or they're into chess. We want to help facilitate and make sure that kids can continue those activities that are so important to them.
Interesting. It's, and the effects of what you're doing not always show up while you're working with them. Do you keep in touch with them once they've kind of gone through the system?
We're open. If a kid initiates reaching back out, we have heard great stories about how the difference that we've made. We've heard from parents that their children's academic work improved after participating in our program. That you know, there are a couple of areas. It's the relationships and being able to build relationships over the long term. And we've heard back from some kids who participated when they were younger and that are doing well now and better now. And it's always confidentiality is important. So the kids have to reach out back to us or their parents to tell us what's going on. But we have heard that even though our work is not therapy, it can have a therapeutic impact on the children who participate.
And I would think at some level, it's maybe even a more important piece of the healing process because you're not the professionals, you're other people who just care.
Yep. And we hope that caring comes through. All of us have been touched by the kids that come through and how we hope that what we do makes an impact. Right. And we know it does from just anecdotal information that we've received back. I do want to mention that we've had an opportunity. The president of our board, Laura Fortin, who's a businesswoman, offered us a $100,000 match, and today's the day we're announcing it. And we have currently made our regular donors have donated about 50% of that, so we only need to raise $50,000 more dollars in order to reap $200,000 from the match. So we have opportunity right now of food land. All the food lands through the end of September are taking donations, and we are one of the organizations that will benefit from their match. So thank you to Foodland for the Give Aloha program. We are number 78903. If you're at the counter, you can look us up, Nakekio Emilia. They will partially match your donation, and then when that match comes in, our donor, Laura, will match that again.
That's
so
total.
We might make twice or three times as much as we would have. So that's really opportunity for us to expand our programs, to serve more children, to do more trainings in the community. This issue has hit just a global importance during the pandemic.
Now, were you kind of shut down during the pandemic, or were you able to do some sessions?
We were continuing to do outreach with community organizations. And we also did a virtual program, but it is hard to do virtual programming with kids around this issue. Although everybody felt that we continue to try to work. And I'm just so excited that we can be in person again, because I think the effectiveness of that is great. But if anyone on the radio has an issue that they'd like to, you know, discuss with me about helping their community organization or even their children, our number is 808. 214-9832, and the services we provide are free, and we do are having an impact on those kids we're reaching. And if we can meet our match, we will be able to expand into other neighborhoods and areas.
Wow.
And we look forward to being able to do that.
Terrific.
There's such a need.
That's exciting. Now, your website is nkoemaui.org.
That's right.
And that stands for Nakekio Emilia, N-K-O-E. And to shoot them a quick email, it's just contact@nkoemaui.org. So those of you out there, if this is something you have not heard about before, like I said early on, I think it's been a couple of years since we've had anybody on. Well, obviously during the pandemic, there were a lot of smaller programs like this one that just tried to survive. And like you say, I can't imagine trying to do it by Zoom, but it's better than nothing, right? And I give you guys all the credit in the world for working with these children and trying to help them. And it helps their parents and grandparents and all their relatives as you go through the process. Carol, thank you for being with us today, and I hope to see you again soon.
Susie, thanks for having us. What a great job you do.
Hey, it's my pleasure to share the information that's available for people, and when it comes to grief, we all have it in our lives at one time or another. Thank you, Carol. Maui Nonprofit Notes is sponsored as a community service by Dowling Company, respecting the delicate balance between nature and history, and man and progress is the path they walk every day. They are committed to building in balance because Maui is their home, and what they build here is their legacy to their children and yours. The Maui Nonprofit Directors Association's mission is to provide personal and professional support to nonprofit executive directors, their organizations, and the community of Maui. Please visit our website at mauinonprofit.org for a list of member agencies. And if you see one there that you'd like to learn more about, just click on it and it will take you to their website so you can learn about them and see if perhaps there isn't a volunteer situation that you can get involved in. Or, on the other hand, there's always donating to that special nonprofit. Today we visited with Katie from Maui Humane Society and Carol from the KKOMALIA and found out what's going on in their worlds, and both of them, it's a challenge. It really is, and what they're doing is nothing short of heroic in my mind's eye, because it's animals have a special place in our heart. Our kids have a special place in our heart. And when tragedy hits, what happens? Then there's folks, thank goodness, Nakeki, OMALIA, and the Humane Society take their part. We want to thank you all for joining us. I'm Susie Tiemann, host of Maui Nonprofit Notes. See you again next week. Aloha.